Hello. The slides were up there earlier, and now the screen on my computer has gone blank. So hopefully we'll have some pictures tonight, but if not, then we'll just go with it. So my name is Cassidy, for anyone here who doesn't know me. And I've been living in Jinja, Uganda since August, and my primary job is teaching. So that's my focus, but the Lord's given me some other opportunities on the outside of that to minister in other ways. So I'm hoping to share with you and to show you some pictures of my teaching experience, but also some of those extra things that the Lord has provided. So do we have anything yet?
No.
Nothing yet. Okay.
Okay,
so the name of my school is called Killenberra Homeschool Center, and it's a very unique environment. It's a very small school. I have 8 in my class now, and I teach the 6th and 7th grade level. So I teach them all subjects just like I would in a normal American classroom setting here, except I don't teach my class science because we switch classes, and I teach the younger grade level English during that time. So right now there are, I think, 14 students in our whole school. So we have one class of 3rd and 4th graders, and then my class is the 6th and 7th grade class. And then we have one student who's in 8th grade who does her own homeschool program, and then she just joins into our class for math and for science. So my school is located right on the Nile River, which never gets old, that scene. And it's a good way for me to just, like, it's just a refreshing moment sometimes to just stop and look out at the Nile and just to be refreshed by the beauty of the Lord that's reflected in that scene. So I'm really thankful to be there, and really thankful to be able to learn and kind of get a handle on teaching in a smaller environment like that. My training is in elementary education. So normally in the States, you would not find me teaching in middle school because that's not how I'm wired, really. I like middle school settings and smaller settings, but not in a mainstream classroom. But this has been eye-opening for me, and it's been enjoyable because not only am I, my goal is not only to teach them academics, but I'm trying to disciple the 8 students that I have. And we do have a time period where we have a short Bible class. And so that's been, I think I was really excited about that walking into it because I didn't know if I would be able to have the opportunity to teach them Bible, because before I was hired, there was another teacher there teaching Bible. So I've really been enjoying just being able to incorporate the Lord and conversations about the Lord, and just to pray with them when the opportunity comes, but then to have a time that's set aside during the week for specific Bible class has been really like what I wanted to do while I was there. Okay, here we go. So the first picture that you're going to see on the slideshow when it comes up is a picture of our schoolhouse. And the school was basically started, and it's run by moms. So it's a school environment for moms who want to homeschool their children, but they want to give them an opportunity to be in the competitive learning environment with other children also. So 2 of the moms are the main supervisors, and they're my supervisors as I'm there as well. And so one of them is in charge of curriculum, and one of them is in charge of more of the financial aspects of the school and just making sure that we have all the supplies that we need. The school is primarily for international students or students who want to be educated in the Western curriculum. So mostly the students are predominantly American, but there are a few others. So I have one in my class who is South African British, one who is Ugandan, adopted by an American family, and there is a Dutch girl in the younger class and also a British Ugandan. So a little bit of diversity in there also. That's my class, and we took that picture right after we held a mini Olympics, and so they had been competing, and they were really hyped up and energetic at the moment. So that is the 6th and 7th grade class at Killenborough. And is this ready? Can I do that? Okay. Those are some of the younger students in the class that I teach English. So they're displaying one of their writing projects that we did. This is Miss Vicky. She is my co-teacher. So she and I are the full-time teachers there. There are two others who teach part-time, but she is the lead teacher for the younger class. And then I teach the 6th and 7th grade class. But this lady has really become a dear, dear friend to me. She is such a woman of God, but she loves him and she loves me. And she's really been a sweet, sweet friend, and I've really enjoyed working with her. So I'm really thankful for her and just for her heart for the Lord and for her heart for these children and for really anyone who's around her. So that's my teacher friend, Miss Vicky. This is the car that the Lord provided for me while I've been in Uganda. So I wanted to show you this because many of you have supported me financially, and this was one of the products and the provisions of that support. And I named my car, and I named her Patience. And if you have a car, like you've named your car, because sometimes that's just fun. So it makes it more fun, but I also felt like I was going to need a constant reminder while I was driving over there to, first of all, drive with patience, and second of all, to have patience as other people around me are not driving with patience. So that is Patience, my car, and she's been through a lot, but she is a very tough car, and I'm very thankful for her, and I wouldn't be able to do a lot of things that I can do if I didn't have this car. So it seems like something that maybe is materialistic, but really the Lord has used it for good and used it for His glory. So I'm thankful for that. This is just a picture of what they would call a jam in Uganda. Traffic, okay? And it is not a fun part about living there. I really don't like it when this happens. So this is, I wish I had a video to show you, but this is just a snapshot of what it's like when it gets bad. This is my friend Lillian, and I met Lillian one day, during my first few weeks that I moved there in August. And the morning that I met her, I was on my way to town, and I was just praying for a divine appointment that day. And I'd been also praying for a friend. And I wasn't really expecting for the Lord to answer that prayer through a Ugandan friend. I think when I was praying it, I was thinking more of, Lord, send me an American friend. But as I was on my way to town that day, she works at a craft shop on Main Street selling Ugandan crafts and souvenirs for the tourists who come through. And I walked into her shop, and I was like just kind of looking around and asked her hey, how are you? She said, I'm okay, or I'm not fine. And I said, why? Like, why are you not fine? And so she was just telling me a little bit about her day. And then she asked me, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? And I said, yes, have you? And so that's how our friendship started. And I love when that happens because it reminds me, we are not the only people who can be missionaries and who can be witnesses for the Lord. Because people are people, therefore, missionaries are of all races. They're not just American, or they're not just Mzungu, which means white person. So Lily and I became friends, and we started spending more time together, and the Lord was laying it on my heart to have a women's Bible study and to be able to study the Word with Ugandan women on a regular basis. And so I mentioned this to her because I wanted to partner with her in this. I would need her help. I would need her help to invite the ladies in. And she's very social, so the Lord really like gave her that gift of a social personality, so she is very friendly and can go and find the ladies to bring them in. And so I asked her, like, I mentioned this to her, and she was so excited, and she had also, it was also on her heart to start some kind of Bible study with women and to teach them the Word. And so still today, like, that is her goal and that is her heart as she's there in her own country, in her own town. And so in October, we held the first Bible study, and we gave it the name Women Warriors, because our goal is to disciple the Ugandan women and to train them to become warriors for God. And one of our key verses is Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman. And the interesting thing is that the word virtuous means woman of valor, and it refers to more of a warrior, and which is so key for Ugandan women, because so often they're oppressed in their culture, or they're impregnated, and then the father just leaves, and then, you know, they bear many children, and they're single mothers, or they're the ones in the garden, like, working, and or they're beaten, and that's accepted in their culture. And so for them to know that they are warriors and that they are called to be strong can really is key for them. And so we've been studying, we've been just looking at women in the Bible since October, just going through pretty much chronologically, but also seeing, you know, how this woman was just an ordinary woman, but she was a virtuous woman, and this is how God used her, but this is also how her story points to Jesus ultimately and points to his coming and how he came to rescue and redeem us all. And so Lillian is my friend, but she's also one of my partners, and I'm just excited to see what the Lord continues to do with her and how he continues to use her to reach the women who are around her, because that's really what her heart is for and what she's burdened for. And so we hold the Bible study in her home now, which is just a small room in town. And it's what she has and it's what she offers. So we meet there every Tuesday night, and she invites all of us in. And oftentimes she prepares the meals because she's the hostess, and it's her home. So this was in January when I just returned from being home in Christmas. And so the sign that she's holding says, Happy New Year 2016, Conquerors, Women Warriors, and there it's spelled like Warriors, and so I had to tell her, actually it's an A, and this one means like you're worrying, you're like frantic, so that's really not what we're trying to be. And and then she was just telling people to greet each other, so I just thought it was cute. She made a little sign and she was holding it while everyone came in. And this is a blurry picture, but this is a few of the ladies who come. I think that my parents showed you a picture also of Bible study in Lillian's home. And the number of ladies and the ones who come, it varies from week to week. So, but that is just a little snippet of what it's like there. This is Lillian and her mother. This is Joy. We went to visit her mother one day. She lives in a village about an hour away from Jinja. So that's one of the things that having a car really enables me to be able to do. So we went and visited her mother one day, and I was under the impression that her mother was not saved. So I was going and I was like, I am not leaving until we share the gospel with her. And we did, and then her mother professed to actually be a believer. And so that wasn't what I was expecting to hear, but it was a good change, and it was a good surprise. So that is Lillian and her mother, Joy. Another one of the opportunities that the Lord has presented me with is to volunteer at a pregnancy center. And that has turned out to look a little differently than I thought it was going to be when I first started. But a lot of the other things that I'm doing in Ginger is actually under the umbrella of the pregnancy center. So I don't actually spend a lot of time at the center, but I do more with the team and like in going out and doing other things. But this is just one of the one Friday when I was there. This is one of the babies of the mom that the pregnancy center reaches out to. So my school schedule, I teach Monday through Thursday, and then I have Fridays off so that I can volunteer and do other things also. So that's how I got connected with the pregnancy center. So one thing that we do with the pregnancy center is we have the mailbox club. And anyone who has ever been to NGM, or who, if your kids go to NGM, those lessons that you do, this is what we use for our material. And one of my first days working with the people from the center, I walked into the mailbox club, which is the little office where they keep all of these lessons, shelves of NGM lessons. And I'm thinking, I've done these. Like, this is what I did as a kid and sitting at my dining room table, and this is what these people are using to go into the schools to teach the kids and to teach the girls the Understanding True Love series. And so it seems like a small thing, but it was amazing to me to see that the Lord had put that in my hands years before, like unknowingly, but he knew. And so this is a school called Kirinya Prison Schools, and this is one of the schools where we go and we teach the Understanding True Love series to the girls who are at this school. So the age that we teach is like 5th through 7th grade. And that series was good for me to do, but that series can be life-changing for these girls. Because at this age, when they're still in primary school, 5th through 7th grade, they are at risk and they have temptations of pregnancy. And if a girl gets pregnant, she has to drop out of school, and there goes her education. And it's not like she's going to be taken care of. Her family could oppress her, or someone who she thought loved her could be gone. And so we go in and we teach this to these girls. Our goal is to teach them, wait until marriage, and what is true love, really, like, what is that? But ultimately, the lessons teach also that true love is God's love, and the lessons share the gospel with these girls, and that's really what's going to change their life. Like, they're not going to be able to really understand what true love is on a human perspective if they don't understand how much God loves them. So that's one of my favorite things, I think, and especially at this school. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It's on the grounds of a prison. The children who attend are children of the prison wards. And so we go out there on Thursdays, and we just have a time of teaching with them. So soon the series will be over. We'll be getting towards the end of the lessons, and the team will move on to another school. But the pregnancy center, they have teams that go out to 5 primary schools during lunchtime to teach like the younger kids just Bible lessons, and then they have teams that go out in the afternoons to teach the girls to 5 different schools throughout the week. So usually I'm just able to be a part of 2 of those schools, but Kirinya Prison Schools is one of them. So this is at that school, Kirinya, and these are some of the girls there that we teach. This is another school, Magua Primary, and this was one day that we happened to just have our lessons outside. So these are some of the girls at Magua that we teach Understanding True Love to also. Another thing that the pregnancy center holds is a Bible club on Saturday mornings. And so this is a picture of that. There are many, many Ugandans who are helping with that and who teach it and who really facilitate it. So this is a picture of one of those days. This is kind of blurry, but back in December, We had a Christmas party at the Bible Club on Saturday mornings, and we were really holding it as a birthday party for Jesus, and we had a cake and Christmas decorations, and kids that I had never seen before came to Bible Club that day. So, one other thing that I've had the opportunity to do and be a part of as I'm at the Pregnancy Center is they have been doing hospital visits, and they prepare food for patients, and they take the food to patients who don't have family to bring them food, because the hospital doesn't provide the food. If you're a patient in the hospital, then you have to have someone bring your own food. And if you have medication that you have to take with food, then that's really bad, and if you don't have food. So the ladies at the Pregnancy Center were just reaching just a few. They realized we can't help everyone, but we can help a few. And so one day I was making the rounds with the people from the center, and there was this little boy there, and his name is Mumi Nu, and he had had an accident a few months before this picture was taken. And he's 5 years old. He was climbing a tree, and as he was climbing the tree, he fell out of the tree, and he was impaled by one of the branches, and so some of his intestines were extracted. And so he was brought to the hospital and miraculously survived, but the doctor had to perform a surgery where they had to cut another incision to pull, sorry that this is kind of graphic, but this is what happened, to pull the intestines back in and sew everything back up. And so this was after the operation, and he still has a little smile on his face, and it was the sweetest smile ever. And so I met this little boy, and this is his mom, and was just really touched by him, and I wanted to go back and visit somehow, but I was informed that they were ready to go home from the hospital, actually, that the doctor was ready to discharge them, but they didn't have a mattress. A soft mattress for him to sleep on at home. And so I wasn't really like trying to provide the mattress for them, but it just kind of, the lady in charge of the pregnancy center just stepped back and basically said, like, are you getting the mattress? So I said, well, I can, but I didn't really know if I was. So to make a long story short, I went with one of the girls from the pregnancy center, and we picked up a mattress for him and brought it to the hospital. And so that's the mattress that you see in the back of the picture. And so they were ready to go home. And the day we took the mattress to them, we wanted to go and see where they live so that we could do a follow-up visit. But they live in the village, and the mom couldn't tell us where. She couldn't give us an address, so we just had to get in the car and go. And so this is a picture of their home where they live, and we were able to go back early December, and so this is when that picture was taken. But we went back, I went with two other people who work at the pregnancy center, and we just sat with them, and it was getting close to Christmas time, so read to them some Bible stories, but leading up to the Christmas story, and sharing the gospel with them that way, and just spend some time with them to check on Mumi Nu and see how he was doing. And he was doing well. He just was having some pain because he didn't have some soft foods to eat. He was eating a lot of potatoes, and he needed some of the softer Ugandan foods so that his stomach could continue to heal. But this is Mumi Nu and his mom. And the Lord he's taught me a lot just through mattresses and while being in Uganda, there was something else that he did for me, like that just showed me like his power again, my first time I went to Uganda. And so the Lord just, I was just blessed to meet them and to be able to follow up with them somehow and share the gospel with them when we went back, because the lady who's in charge of the pregnancy center has told me this before, and it can be really easy to just give like material goods and, you know, to see a need and just meet it because we can from our wallet. But, and that's great. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But, that's not, ex- that's not all the kingdom of God is about. So we don't want to become just these mzungus who are just going around town and bringing people food and buying people mattresses. But my prayer was that this mattress could be an avenue for the gospel. And so the Lord answered that in being able to go back with my team members who translated and who were also there, like, just sharing the love of Jesus with this family. Based on their response, they seemed like they knew the Lord, but it's hard to tell in Uganda sometimes because it's a pretty religious culture, and people might say they're Christians, but they won't say that they're born again, so sometimes it's just hard to know when the commitment is real, but the Lord knows, and so he has them in his hands. So, and this is my friend Mercy. I attend church with Mercy, and I wanted to put her in my slideshow. This is the last picture that I have to show, because it kind of leads to where I am now. I'm planning on moving back to the States in July, and I don't really know, there's still a lot that's unknown about that. So when I moved to Jinja in August, there was a lot that was uncertain and unknown, and so there was a lot of fear that came with that. So coming back home in a way is still a little bit scary because there's still a lot that's uncertain and there's still a lot that's unknown. And I struggled a while with the decision because it seems like the right thing to do would be to stay. Like, Lord, like, why wouldn't I stay? Why wouldn't you tell me to stay in Uganda? But he didn't. And I think when I moved to Jinja in August, I was half expecting the Lord to say, move here for good. Like, give it all up. Like, move here. This is where you're going to be. So part of me was ready for that, and I was ready to hear that. And so when I didn't hear that, I think I was a little bit disappointed and a little bit like, Lord, are you sure about this? And because in some ways it would be easier to stay. But the Lord has been teaching me a lot in this decision through the story of Abraham and Isaac and how God told Abraham, he called him, and Abraham said, here I am, and God told him, sacrifice the son of the promise that I gave you. And that doesn't really, like, make sense to Abraham, and it doesn't really even make sense to me as I read the story, like, why God would tell Abraham to do that, but Abraham said that he would. And, but then God stopped him, and he didn't have to sacrifice Isaac. And so it would have been really foolish for Abraham to go ahead with the offering when God said, no, you don't need to do that. And so in a way, like, I feel like Abraham, like, I was ready to make the sacrifice if the Lord told me to do that. And when he didn't tell me to do that, I was a little bit confused. Like, okay, I was ready to, but then you stopped my hand. And so it would be just as foolish for me to stay in Africa when the Lord's telling me to come home as it would have been for Abraham to kill his son when God said no, because obedience is better than sacrifice. And when Isaac asked Abraham, like, Father, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide a lamb. And later on in the story, like, God doesn't provide a lamb, he provides a ram. And so maybe Abraham was saying, I don't know how the Lord's going to provide today, but I know that God is sending a lamb. And that lamb is Jesus, and he's going to be enough for the world. And so even if God doesn't provide for me today, then Jesus is enough, and he's coming. So I don't know about the ram. I don't know how the Lord's, what he's going to do, like, when I come back home, but I'm sure of Jesus. And I know in whom I have believed, and Jesus will be enough. He'll be enough for me here, just as he's been for me in Uganda. When the Lord took me to Uganda, I think I was expecting to fall in love, and because that's what a lot of people say, like, oh, I went so-and-so, and I fell in love. But for me, that wasn't the case, because I believe I was already in love with Uganda and in love with those people. And so that love is what brought me there in the first place, and that love is what will continue to take me back as the Lord leads. Because I don't believe that the Lord is removing me permanently, but I think he's just moving me to establish me here and go back maybe periodically, because I believe that I can love better, love them better in that way. So all of that to say that once I knew that the Lord was leading me home, through my friend Mercy here, he provided a way for me to stay connected, a way for me to stay invested in the lives of women in Uganda, because that's been a big part of my heart since I've been there. And so Mercy and my friend Lillian, they both want to have a ministry that reaches the women of Uganda. And I would much rather it be them leading it and me just maybe being in the background rather than myself like starting something. Because sometimes so many Westerners have come in and like given money and built things, and it's good, but sometimes the natives become dependent on foreigners coming in rather than moving themselves and rather than reaching out themselves. And so I'm more than happy to just support them as they want to move forward. So I believe that the Lord, through my friend Mercy, has provided a way for me to continue to minister and to continue to love, but just on this side of the world rather than there at this moment. And so I'm going back Sunday, and I'll be there until July to finish out my school year. But I know the Lord's not done with me there yet. So if you'll continue to pray for me as I finish up the school year, but also as these other things are going on outside of school, and if you'll pray specifically for my friends Lillian and Mercy as they seek to be the hands and feet of Jesus where they are, and as they seek to further the kingdom of God there in Uganda. And so I just want to also encourage all of you to be where you are too, to realize that the Lord has you where you are, and not to wish that you were somewhere else, because that's been a battle for me, even as I've been in Jinja, when I get homesick, like, oh, I just want to be home, or when I'm here, like, oh, I just want to go back. And so just be where you are. And the enemy has tried to discourage me in the calling that the Lord now has on my life to move me back here, and just like thoughts like, well, it's too hard for you, so you can't stay, or you know, your life for the Lord is not going to be good enough when you come back home, and what if you fail when you come home? What if you really don't seek the Lord when you come home, and what if you grow away from him? And so because of those lies, sometimes I've felt some shame in saying, oh, like, I'm coming back home in July. But I'm not going to be ashamed of that, because I believe that that's truly what the Lord is telling me to do and truly how he's leading. And so I say that to say to you, don't be ashamed of where the Lord has you. Wherever you are, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because we need it here in America just as much as they need it in the world. So take heart, be strong, and the Lord is with you wherever you go. And I'm holding on to that when I move back home, his presence will be here with me, because there's nowhere in the world that I can go away from his presence. And he's shown that to me really clearly. over the past few months. So thank you for praying, thank you for caring, thank you for listening, and thank you for letting me share, Brother Bill.